of a sudden, you know, we would think that the dog had abandoned the weak puppy.
Mm.
And then later on, we found out that because all the other puppies, all the other six puppies were stronger in, you know, being breastfed,
mm.
and they would not let the weakest puppy to get fed. So the mommy would take it to a separate place and would individually attend to the needs of that puppy. I'm talking about the realm of the animals. In the Quran, we read that sometimes humans get worse than animals.
Yeah, exactly.
If a puppy mom, if a dog mom mm. can be so tender-hearted,
mm.
so emotional, so loving and so caring, that would attend individually to the needs of an animal,
mm.
then imagine these Arabs at the times of Jahiliyyah,
how
they
barbaric.
Would bury their daughters alive.
Exactly.
Just
because you're going to bring dishonor to my family name.
Subhanallah, that humans can become so much worse than animals.
Exactly. And that makes the whole argument, the whole probe that Islam is anti-woman that much more ironic. Because Islam dawned during a time in history where this whole civilization was keen on burying their women alive and destroying them and labeling them as dishonor and shame. And Islam came along and was like, stop what you're doing right now or you're going to burn in hell. Women are awesome. They're the manifestation of the mercy of your creator. Whoever has 1, 2, 3 daughters, they will have doors open to them in heaven.
Exactly.
Love your daughter first, hug her first, kiss her first, gift her first. She's a trust in your hands rather than a possession. And like fast forward 1400 years and a bunch of uneducated Westerners are going to pop up and say, well, Islam is anti-woman. And
exactly.
I'm like, how about you just stop talking? Right,
if I want to bring into our audience attention the verses in the Quran that you just mentioned, one of them is in chapter 16, verse number 59, that it says, and when the news of the birth of a female child is brought to any of them, his face becomes dark and he's filled with inward grief. He hides himself from the people because of the evil of that whereof he has been informed. Shall he keep her with dishonor or bury her in the earth?
Ya Allah.
Subhanallah. Or in another chapter, verses 8 and 9 in chapter 81, it says, and when the female infant buried alive shall be questioned. For what sin she was killed.
This is Muslim Lady coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We're going to be back after a short break. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for joining us again on Muslim Lady. We're in the studio with the darling sister Razia Shamili talking about the position of women in the holy, divine, and luminous life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sister Razia, you were pointing out the verses in the Holy Quran which describe the state of the barbaric, ignorant Arabs before the advent of Islam and how they labeled their baby girls as shame and dishonor, and how they were keen on taking her life before she could become a shame and dishonor for them, and how the Quran rebukes this foul action, condemns it, and then tells them that y'all gonna burn in hell.
And it's interesting that in some of the verses of the Noble Quran, we read instances of oppression against the female sex in other verses.
Yeah.
For example, in chapter 6, verse number 139, it says, they used to believe that what is in the bellies of such and such cattle, like milk or fetus, is for our males alone. And forbidden to our females, meaning our girls and women, they, you know, whatever, if it's nice and alive and it, whatever is in the bellies of such and such cattle and it's it is given birth to alive. But if it is born dead, then all have shares therein. He will punish them for their attribution of such false orders to Allah. Have you heard of this verse before?
I have. I've never actually looked into it to see what the practice of that time was, the society of that time, how they... But, well, there are still societies around the world who do this.
Yeah.
Very primitive, tribal, sort of clan-based societies in, I don't know, Africa, in Southeast Asia, parts of Asia, that when they hunt an animal or a game... And they slaughter it, certain body parts are specific to the men, certain body parts are specific to women. But I think what they're doing now, which is like a culture from like a kajillion years ago, is that the body parts specified to each gender is good for them.
Uh-huh.
You know, like...
Good for their health.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And for...
So they have a reason, logic behind
it. Yeah.
Right. But this distinction was merely for the... Just you're
to put
a woman,
them down.
You're a man, exactly.
You're a woman, you don't deserve to have fresh meat.
And then we are men, where we are entailed, you know, we have the right to have whatever is born of the cattle... to us, whatever is in the bellies of these animals.
SubhanAllah, just comes to show how intricate the Quran was, and it paid attention to the smallest details.
We can do so much research on this.
Inshallah ta'ala, more of that on the next episode of Muslim Lady. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussion today. Until another salam and greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. La ilaha.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a maxim from the Prophet's fourth infallible successor, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, who during his captivity in the court of the tyrant Yazid in Damascus, boldly said, "Beware of matters against which God has warned you. Abstain from matters from which God has ordered you to abstain. do not copy the inclination of those who regarded this world as a permanent abode.
The light.
Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovo artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Prejogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajago was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajago holds two Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. A French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, nine Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer macaque twins are new additions to the Minni Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balal is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chitka, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains had been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. A group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has 8 propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with 4 batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype can or has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted an art show themed with Aspiration for Peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Eco Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience, even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace. Observed every year on September 21st, the occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth a thousand words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulenc walked across a rope suspended 70 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaliot Theater. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulin said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulin said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between two skyscrapers in Paris.
Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Saudi Arabia. Since the rise of Mohammed bin Salman as the de facto leader, the country has embarked on a senseless kind of adventurism across the region. The young prince's aggressive performance in the theater of politics has almost backfired exposing the kingdom to retaliatory responses from other regional actors. The result has been embarrassing for a country that considered itself as the leader of the Arab world, hence apparently the main supporter of the Palestinian nation. In order to protect its own soil against its newly unnecessarily made enemies, the Saudis are now seeking to purchase missile systems from Palestine's number one enemy, namely the Israeli regime. As one of the major importers of arms, and at the same time as a country with one of the weakest armies in the world, Saudi Arabia is now keen on having Israel's Iron Dome. According to Breaking Defense, Riyadh is considering Israeli-made missile systems seriously as never before. The timing is, of course, of considerable significance, as the Saudis have sought to procure the Iron Dome for a few years. But this time, their interest has reached a very practical phase. This level of military interaction cannot happen overnight. That's why Saudi Arabia and the Israeli regime don't have formal relations with each other. In the Muslim world, the Saudis are accused of having intelligence cooperation, at least for some years, with the Israelis, and the Iron Dome purchase might act as corroborative evidence.
Now, according to sources, the Saudi interest in the Israeli Iron Dome has reached a practical phase, and this in many ways can be seen as representative of the overall alliance between the two regimes, which hasn't been made public yet, but apparently there have been talks between the two regimes for years, including on this so-called security and defense issue, as they call it. So it would not be, it doesn't really come as a surprise, given that there has been an increasing diplomatic as well as a military, at least from an ideological point of view, harmonization between the two regimes.
In the absence of American Thaad and Patriot batteries, which recently were removed from Prince Sultan Amir base, the Saudis are scrambling to find new missile systems. But experts believe the situation is much more complicated, with the odds heavily against the kingdom.
The United States has just in recent weeks removed its most advanced missile defense structure system from Saudi Arabia. And of course, we should also see this within the context of the US withdrawal from Afghanistan, which may have caused some nervous reactions among U.S. allies in the Gulf, including Saudi Arabia and its close allies there. And then, of course, at the same time, there have been continuous responses from Yemen against Saudi Arabia in retaliation for its attacks on Yemen. So the Saudi regime is confronted with challenges, but trying to keep its quite a powerful position through new configurations.
In recent months, Ansarullah has dealt great blows to the Saudi-led coalition forces after years of bombing and targeting Yemeni civilians and infrastructure. The Saudis have found themselves vulnerable against Yemen's homemade drones. And disappointed by what the kingdom is in position of, Saudi Arabia is going to try its luck this time with Israeli missile systems. Those systems already tested and of course failed against retaliatory attacks from Gaza. In other words, like the American Patriot missile systems, the Israeli Iron Dome system's combat performance has grossly been exaggerated. Meanwhile, Tel Aviv has always asserted that it would help the enemies of Iran, particularly in terms of intelligence and military equipment. Helping the Saudis against Yemen's Ansarullah, who have launched successful retaliatory attacks against Saudi targets, and trying to back the kingdom up in the face of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is just one side of the coin. The other side is without doubt marketing and milking a rich customer such as Saudi Arabia. And the embarrassing point is Riyadh's plan to obtain equipment from a regime it is supposed to be at loggerheads with.
The Israeli regime has, of course, been marketing its military equipment and technologies, including surveillance technologies internationally, that it has tested on Palestinians for many years. That includes different mechanisms for the perpetuation of state violence that are presented as defense and security. And it has provided oppressive regimes all over the world with different sorts of methods to facilitate human rights violations, surveillance, and the control and containment of different populations, in particular minority populations. So the Saudi regime would be just one of many oppressive regimes that is actually buying technology from the Israeli regime for so-called security and defense purposes.
News of the procurement of the Iron Dome comes a few years after denials by both Riyadh and Tel Aviv. According to the Israeli news outlet Haaretz, the Saudis, as well as its allies, including the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, sought to buy the Iron Dome for the second time in September 2019. Now the procurement is by and large being interpreted as a prelude to the normalization, or as some critics put it, the publicization of relations between the two sides.
So these latest developments could definitely be another prelude to the normalization or to the publicization of the relations between the Saudi and the Israeli regime. So there has been a normalization, so-called, to some extent, and it needs to be seen when and how an official publicization would take place. But Saudi has, of course, backed the normalization between the Zionist entity and the dictatorships in Bahrain and UAE that took place in 2020. And the Saudi and Israeli regimes have been collaborating and doing that more and more openly in recent years, and have on numerous occasions actually expressed their solidarity with one another.
Yoel Gozansky from Tel Aviv University's Institute for National Security Studies, INSS, has recently pointed out Israel would do the right thing by offering the Saudi kingdom assistance in defending its strategic facilities against a growing threat from Iran. All in all, this is not a surprising development going on between the Saudi kingdom and the Israeli regime. The ugly alliance between the two sides has been built upon confronting popular demands, including freedom and democracy, across the region, and in particular in both Saudi Arabia and the occupied territories.
Of course, Israel is a very useful ally here, and not to forget, of course, that these regimes, Saudi, Israel, and other U.S. proxies, have their existence as oppressive regimes which are embedded in Western framework, guaranteed to a large extent on their transactional relation with the United States. So obviously they would, that extent, collaborate amongst each other.
As two destabilizing forces in the region, the chemistry between the two sides is to some extent based on the oppression-destruction strategy and a need for constant militarization as a result of that. The Saudis have been attacking their neighboring Muslim country for the past few years, the first heinous sin, and then asking for help from another Muslim nation's enemy, the second unforgivable sin, while calling itself the leader of the Muslim world. The anti-Iranian rhetoric provides the two sides with a pretext to justify their alliance, what was hard to even imagine a decade ago.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special.
every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today's topic is about Arba'in procession.
Karbala, Karbala, Karbala. Yearning to go to the land of miracles, yearning to go, no matter how difficult, Karbala.
Today, Thursday, is the 23rd of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Fajr from the Holy Quran, verses 21st to 26.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Kalla idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka.
No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded and crushed.
Waja'a rabbuka wal malaku saffan saffa.
And your Lord has come, and the angels rank upon rank.
And
brought within view that day is hell. That day man will remember. But what good to him will be the remembrance? He will say, oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life. So on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment.
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد.
And none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The term "Your Lord comes" means that the command of the Lord comes for verifying mankind's reckoning. Or it means that the signs of the appearance of Allah's glory and greatness come. Or still, it means that the appearance of the knowledge of Allah will come on that day in such a way that no one can deny it, in so much as all will see His Supreme Being with their own eyes. It is certain that His coming does not mean a material coming.
I swear from my birth to my grave, and swear by God's creation, I was made only a slave for the ship of salvation. For the one whose blood fell like rain, why should my blood not fall too? I'll raise my sword and shout Hussein, for you my vow I'll renew. I'll beat my chest, I'll never rest, all of my life I'd sacrifice. Your name beats in my heart, the truth so clear. Even though we're apart, you're always near.
People from tens of countries participate in Erbain rally, and they become the guests of the people of the country of Iraq. We should try to strengthen the already firm bonds between Muslim brothers, the bond between Iraqis and non-Iraqis, the bond between Shia and Sunni, and the bond between Arabs, Fars, Turks, and Kurds. These bonds are a source of bliss. They are a sign of divine mercy. The enemy is trying to create discord, but he has failed. And by Allah's favor and grace, he will continue to fail. Today, they propagandize against Islam and Islamic teachings with hundreds of means against this hostile move made by the camp of Kufr and arrogance. It is the movement of Husseini understanding, which can single-handedly resist, stand firm, and introduce the truth of Islam and of the Quran to the world.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We find that together with Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, there was a man, I mean, much younger than him, by the name of Atiyah al-Kufi. Atiyah al-Kufi, I mean, at that time, he was, I mean, much younger than Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, but Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari at that time, because of old age, couldn't see anywhere, and he had already lost his eyesight. So Atiyah al-Kufi took Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, and they together walked to the tomb of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Oh, please consider the situation that it was just, I mean, 40 days after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and the Umayyad ruler Yazid was still in power. It was a really very, I mean, risky job, I mean, to dare to go to perform pilgrimage to the tomb of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam at that time. However, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari and Atiyah al-Kufi, both of them did this. When Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari reached the tomb of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he heaved a deep sigh and addressed Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in this way, that why you as my dearest friend don't answer my call, my salam. It shows that, I mean, this experience shows that all the preparations and plannings of the Umayyad ruler Yazid ibn Muawiyah to wipe out the Islamic religion by means of slaughtering Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his companions resulted in the contrary to what were their initial expectations. Initially, they had expected that after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, there would remain no trace of the Islamic religion. However, they soon found out that it was a flame that wouldn't be extinguished.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
Erbain World March, focal point of Shia world's cultural diplomacy. High religious and human motivations. The existence of religious and human motivations at a high level is perhaps one feature common among all of the participants in the march. Such motivations can be clearly seen both in those marching and those serving them. The love for Imam al-Hussein creates such a warmth in the hearts of people that no other divine figure or world reformer is capable of creating. All consider themselves indebted to Imam al-Hussein, and therefore everyone willingly offers whatever they have. All of those attending the march showcase a sense of cooperation, self-sacrifice, forgiveness, and kindness to fellow human beings at the highest level, which result in amazing scene of assistance, support, compassion, and self-sacrifice.
Oh Allah, I can't live without Hussein. How can I not see Bayn al-Haramain? My whole life just only has one aim, to be beside the one that was slain. Akbar ya Karbala, ya Rabbi Ashik ziyarat Karbala. Allahumma zubna Karbala, bi haqqi Sayyid al-Shuhada.
40 and resisting oppression, only on today's special from IRIB English Radio. The 40 walk also shed lights on the social message of peacefulness by Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. It gives a clear message to the world that Islam is a religion of peace, human solidarity, social cohesion, and love for others. The sight of doctors and physicians offering their services for free, the largest number of volunteers facilitating the pilgrims, poor people feeding the hungry, and sick ones are serving the healthy. It is an event that symbolizes women empowerment, as women are walking fearlessly with pride and dignity with their children for 3 consecutive days from the city of Najaf to Karbala.
When you look at the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, they're truly mind-boggling in the merits and the effect and the great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to the visitors of Al-Imam Al-Husayn. It's truly mind-boggling. In fact, Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, when it comes to the ziyarah of Imam Al-Husayn, he says, it is a fariida ala kulli mu'minin wa mu'mina. It is an obligation on every believing man and every believing woman to go to Karbala and visit the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It's an obligation. I would like to discuss one very important blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the visitors of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This comes from a hadith from Al-Imam al-Baqir salawatullahi alayhi. The Imam alayhi salam in this hadith states, "Muru shi'atana bi ziyarati qabr al-Husayn alayhi salam." Command our followers to visit the grave of Al-Imam al-Husayn. Fa inna ityanahu yuzidu fi ar-rizq wa yumiddu fi al-umr wa yadfa'u madafi' as-su'. One of the amazing benefits of visiting Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is that it prolongs our life.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein, and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Assalamu ala gharibin.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.